I was able to share, you know, this past Wednesday, I shared on Wednesday night with the folks there, but the Riverview Heights Apartments service that I did on Wednesday. And usually you kind of go into those common ground areas and just kind of do some, just some good stuff of God, you know, just some encouragement and, you know, you've got a purpose here and God can give you strength and, you know, we can pray for some healings and you've got sickness and all this. And so we touched upon that many times. You know, I've shared in the past to where they've asked me and I've been able to be just humbled to be able to offer communion there in that resort, in that area. I don't know if any other churches or pastors have been willing to do that because maybe some of them have a very doctrinal, stringent way of having to serve communion. I don't know. But I said, sure, you know, I'll bring some juice and crackers and offer it. Never turn down a possibility to put God's foot forward. Because it's by putting those feet forward that God continues to open up other avenues and veins of things that he wants you to do. Whether it's in a community outreach there, or whether it's here in a community or in a of our public worship here, or our coming together corporately. And so, okay, I go, here we go, Lord. We're going to go in there with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, it's been interesting and been very good, and it was well received. You know, I would look around, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. There was probably almost as many people there as there is here today in that room, in that community room of ladies that live there. And so I just began to share on the Holy Spirit because you can't go wrong when you share about the things of God. Now, it may not be understandable to some, and some might be turned off by it. And I shared that. I said, now, what I'm sharing and what I'm saying here, you may not agree with. And I said, that's okay. And I said, I still love you. You know? But I said, I do want to share the things that God has and what God said he did and why, and now who's here for us. And, you know, they need to hear. And maybe there's some there that have an understanding of the Holy Spirit. And there's others that have an understanding, but they know of it, and I've been taught it. But it's like, well, that's one of those things out there, you know. I want to get it to the point to where we live this stuff daily. It's not something in the past. It's not something when we get to heaven. It's the something in the here and now that we can benefit and reap the rewards of everything that God created, everything that Jesus gave us, and everything that the Holy Spirit is presenting to us. And it's for today. Everybody say it's for today. Amen. Hallelujah. That's where we get this power and that strength. That's where you get that joy. That's where you get this patience and long-suffering at times and all that, or the giftings and some of that that comes through Galatians of that, of the Holy Spirit puts these things into us. Then we have those works of the Holy Spirit that we each one could work at and possibly be receiving, and we want to look at some of that today. We want to maybe look at tongues. That's where I think, you know, you lose a lot of people when you get into the tongues. Then everybody starts shutting down. And they all start saying, not for me. That's cuckoo. That's wacko. You know, that's one of those Pentecostal crazy people. That's one of those charismatic chandelier trapeze artists in church, you know. And they all have connotations of what, when you start talking about the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and the fullness of everything. And that's just a... the enemy has planted such a good seed of doubt and apprehension into people. And he's done it so well, working through men and women of our denominations and churches and backgrounds, that it's not the world speaking against it as much as the churches sometimes speaking against the powers and the offices of God. Amen. Because we as man think that, well, I understand it. I can figure it out. I know all about it. Yes. This makes sense. This doesn't make sense. This is the way I want to believe. So we find at times as we look at this is, why is there a blockage? Why do people have a hard time grasping these things? Now, for some of us, it probably came fairly easy. For some of you here today, was it pretty well easy to receive the Holy Spirit? And we had the Holy Spirit, you know, we had a measure of the Holy Spirit when we received Christ and he starts working through that. And then we get into God's Word, and we find out then Jesus comes, and we get a fullness of. In the Bible, it talks about we get a measure of the Holy Spirit first, and then we get a fullness of the Holy Spirit in Ephesians, it talks about. And so a lot of people in our churches, and it could be even here, you've got that measure of the Holy Spirit, but you're not walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe there's a difference from a measure of something to a fullness of something? Get a one-cup container and put one measurement of flour in a one-cup thing. Just put a half a cup of flour. That's a measure of flour into that mixture. If you want to really hop it up, then put a whole cup of flour in there. Then there ain't no room for milk and eggs and oil and all that type of stuff. But that's the fullness. And that's what I want to share and kind of keep thinking about for today and maybe another day or two, but that we need a fullness. Say that. I need a fullness of the Spirit of God. I need that fullness in me. I want to be filled up to a full measure. Not just a measure of here and there. And then we get into the realms of being refilled. Amen. We need to have that refilling of the Holy Spirit. And that talks about that too. But we find that, why is there some blockages out there? We find that there's doubt or intellectual pride. There's doubt, and then there's intellectual pride. It talks here, and this is just a little thing I pulled off the internet. It talks about in the 1960s, a journalist named John Sherrill decided to write a book discrediting the phenomenon of speaking in tongues. But after he interviewed countless people with this experience, his doubts were shattered, and he was baptized in the Holy Spirit himself. And he had a book come out that says, They Speak with Other Tongues. He became a Christian classic, you know. Spiritual experiences cannot be figured out with the intellect, the mind. You've got to let go. It talks here, it says, to receive the Spirit's infilling, you must let go of your intellectual arguments and display childlike faith. We just have to let it go and understand. And that's why for me to receive most of everything that I've received from God, I was dumb. I just read it for what it said it, and I believed what it said. And I said, well, it must be for me today too then. I don't need to think about it and correlate it to today or the times of today or intellectual studies of today. I just read God's word for what he says, and I just say, well, it must be so. And if we can get, or if you can walk into that, just it must be so stuff,
right,
you will gain much more what God has for you. Now, the world will call you and say, well, you're just dumb. You just receive anything you believe. You'll believe anything you hear. Well, no, I'm not that way, because I do hear things in the world, and I hear these things being on the news, and I go, that's dumb. I don't receive that. That is totally stupidity. How can that be? But I can read God's word and I go, I believe that. That's God's word. So I'm not stupid. You know? I know right from wrong and these things. But I just take God for what he says. I take Jesus for what he shared. I take what the Holy Spirit says he's all about. And I say, okay. I guess that's called that childlike faith that it's told us to do in Matthew. There's also religious traditions that are out there. An Episcopal priest was filled with the Holy Spirit in the 1970s in New York City. He was excited about this new vitality that he felt in his faith, and he was thrilled that his wife had experienced the physical healing. But when he shared his testimony with his bishop, he was told, you're crazy. And the bishop referred him to a psychiatrist. Religious people who are locked into the way we've always done it find it hard to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You've got to be willing to break free from tradition.
Amen.
Now, some tradition is good. Well, I'm not going to say throw out the bathwater with the baby or the baby with the bathwater. Traditions have value in certain respects. You know, we have traditions in families of getting together or doing this for a holiday, and it's always been this way, and it's just a tradition. It's something that we can hang our hat on or whatever the case. That's okay. You know, traditions are good. Even churches with traditions, that is good. Traditions are good. There's nothing to say we don't want tradition, but you've got to find that fine line that gets between tradition and it's going to keep you from receiving the fullness of what God is really all about. And you got to also, I think, look at where did your tradition start and who started it. You know, if we're looking at the areas of, especially in our churches and religious organizations, how did this tradition start in here? Was it by that of the Holy Spirit? Probably not, because maybe they don't even believe in the Holy Spirit. How did this tradition start? Well, it was a group of 12 guys sitting around a table discussing the things of the Bible and saying, I don't think that, I don't know, I've never experienced that, I don't think that's right. Well, okay, then let's make this our tradition, we don't believe it. That's our tradition. And so that gets birthed maybe hundreds of years ago in this whatever denomination swing it is or whatever the case might be, and it flows through, guess what? Every year of that organization. And they get down after umpteen hundreds of years and they go, "What? I got a question. Why do we do that?" And somebody on the board will say, "Tradition." Yeah. Well, okay. Well, where did this come from? Way back. That is something we adhere to. So we got to be careful with religious traditions. We want to honor and sometimes reflect them, but we don't want to get so point to where we're in our box of tradition and we don't think there's any other thing. I have, in my short life with the things of God and reading His Word, I have changed some areas of my thoughts and understanding of things, not dangerously, but things that I thought I kind of understood God thinking about, our things of this life and how to deal with situations in relationships, our marriages, our getting people married and all these things. And there's a lot of things to follow and look at. But when I look at some things, and it's like it's actually a tradition of man on how we put things together, on how to people to get into even to marriages. I've had to change some of that. Not all, totally. I didn't throw the whole baby out of the bathwater. But I have to be willing to be thinking about these things. And even today, looking and talking with a couple recently outside the church realm, and you can go on and read all kinds of things online, and oh, if there's these organizations that if they're not of our church and if they're outside the realm of this, we don't even talk to them. We're not even going to marry them type thing. I go, wow, that's probably the way I thought at first. And then I always get with my God. How many here get with your God? And you say, now God, I got to have some understanding in this. What they are doing, maybe right now, is sin, and they're living in it. And then I go, God, would you desire them to be out of sin? What do you think God's going to say? Yes. Okay, God, if you would desire for them to be out of sin, would you like for me to help them get out of sin? And how can I do that? And so I've had to kind of change up just a little bit of my, and like I say, I didn't really have a strong, you know, I'm into this only fairly new, you know. But I go to my Lord and I say, Lord, how can we take care of a situation that's bad, turn it into good? How can I be a tool of you, Lord, to help this person or this couple move from this into an area that's going to honor you? And I share with these couples, I say, you know what you're doing right now is sin in the eyes of God. You're living together. That goes totally against God. God can't bless that. You're out of His realm of perfection and what God calls. But I said, I am so honored that you've come to me, and it's going to work out as we have some visits and we talk. I don't initially say I'm going to marry you. I say, let's get to talk a little bit, and let's just see what's going on in your lives. And then I go, but, you know, after a couple of visits, I go, I am so honored that you've asked me to be a part of this. And in part of my first conversations with them, I'll say, I bring out the sin. You know, I'm not sugarcoating it. I say, you're living in sin. And God's not happy with it, but I'm honored that you are going to allow me to help you get out of that sin by way of getting married. I feel like that's what God would want us to do rather than close the door and say, no, you're not living a Christian valued life right now. I don't want nothing to do with you. How are we going to get them into the kingdom? How do you build relationships with people to say, I want to help you get... It's any other sinner out there you talk to, amen? You work with any other sinner out there to get them into the kingdom of God. And it might take a little bit of talking. It might be a little bit of walking with them. It might be a little bit of relationship talking and building and where they get to know you. And then all of a sudden, everything begins to develop to where it helps them. And they come into that of the kingdom of God. It's not sometimes an overnight deal. It's not just a one time, I just met these people and we said the sinner's prayer and everything's happy and we're going down the road. Most of our talks and walking with people and relationship building that are lost are relationship building and walking with them. And walking with them. Trying to be an example. Trying to show some of that Galatians 5:22 of long-suffering, gentleness, love, compassion. Sometime back I said, I really feel and sense as a church, and especially myself, that I want to walk in the compassion that my Lord walked in. And my Lord, the only ones he got disgruntled and looked down upon were the religious people. But you give a sinner in front of Jesus and he just had love and compassion for them. He called out their sin, but he says, but I've got the way. You've got to get to that relationship of talking to people to be able to help them. So as I say all that, I don't know why, but I'm seeing this in my own ongoing development with God that I see things sometimes anew and afresh of God's perspective. And I try to unconnect my thoughts and my human thoughts and what I think, my intellect, you know, and I go with what I want God's thoughts.
Hallelujah.
And so, hey, I told this couple, I just had a wonderful meeting with this. I said, man, you guys are so awesome. I said, what a love story. What a love story.
Amen.
Still living in sin, but what a love story. But I'm going to work with them and walk them through some things. And, you know, even yesterday I said, I don't know if it's okay with you. I want to say a prayer. Now, in my prayer, I didn't say, Lord, bless them. You can't ask my Lord to bless them if they're living in sin. But I can say, Lord, help them. Help them get the things accomplished that they need to for this wedding. Lord, show yourself into their relationship and help them understand what you're all about and what you desire and what you look for in a relationship. I didn't do nothing. What did I do? I turned it over to God. And I just want to be that conduit to be a help between them to God. Another thought of what I'm to do as a pastor here is to do nothing other than connect people with God. I am not here to change people. I am not here to persuade people. I am not here to twist their arm. I'm here just to share the love and the greatness and the gloriness and the mercy and all of that of God for all of us to have some hope. Because I need hope at times, you know? And so that's the part of getting back to traditions and things and how we can sometimes, our traditions in our churches can keep people in sin because they don't adhere to what we want. And I totally still could be wrong. And I'm still looking. I talk to some of my pastor friends and all of a sudden, I don't know. And yes, I do counseling and visit with the people and we work through some things and I listen to them. Share some things of Scripture, things of what God's about. But I don't know. I know the Word of God says, do not be unequally yoked. I was reading articles on the line that said like some of these church people out there, they're saying like, if they're not in the church, we don't want nothing to do with them. Well, if they're unequally, I don't want to even marry a Christian with a non-Christian, you know. I don't know if that's our purpose. It is our purpose to bring that to light to them and say, well, you know what God's Word says about being unequally yoked, and you know what that means, and you know the problems that it could cause. But guys, I can say that because I was unequally yoked with my wife. I would be a hypocrite to say, you can't get married because you're unequally yoked. Why, you're a hypocrite. I'd just be just like those Pharisees and Sadducees that Jesus said, you hypocrites! You speak of the law, but you don't follow it. What makes you so good? Well, I'm not a pastor goody-two-shoe. I've had stuff in my closet. I've had stuff in my past. But I've had a God that's worked me through these things that puts me into a level of understanding with Him that, number one, He is a forgiving God of grace and mercy, sent Jesus Christ to take my sins, to set me on the path of reconciliation back to Him. And by doing all of that, I can live a better life and be helpful to others around me, I hope. I just want to help people say, hey, my God is good. He's been good to Tim and He can be good to you. So you'll share the things of marriages. That's not probably the way to go, the best way. It could be some problems. But you know what, guys? And this is what really brought me to light one time. A person calls wanting to get married, and I said, well, I require counseling. This person was a Christian. I said, I require counseling. She goes, we had that. It didn't work. She hung up. I go, wait a minute, God. I thought that's what I was supposed to say. It's interesting when you begin to listen and people respond back to you. That hit me. I'm telling you guys, that hit me with a hammer to say, counseling is good, but it's not the all and all. You want to have counseling, but just because you have counseling doesn't mean it's going to be a happy-go-lucky marriage for 100 years, you know? We've got to work these things out. Here again, I don't throw out talking to them of the things of God and working through some issues that they might have, but I don't get regimented saying it's a 5-week course, 2 nights a week, 3 hours a night with homework. You know? They got a life too, man. I had a situation where I married a couple. They were living together. They had kids. Was I to tell them you need to separate and get rid of your kids and separate the whole house and just... No, guys, you've got to deal with what happens in society and where they're at. Did not Jesus work with you where you were at when he found you? So where I find these people, I've got to be like that of Jesus, because I said I want to walk with his compassion. So I want to help them. I thought, what a fool you could be to sit there and say, well, I'd marry you too, but you're living together and you each have kids from whatever. You got to move out and get separate houses. It's like, well. Now, that kind of changes some things that probably the previous pastor had done and all that. And I don't know, but that was him and this is me and this is where God has me. I told this one couple sometime, one of them I was dealing with, I said, I would encourage you not to have physical contact, sexual relations between now and the wedding. Now, I've seen things online where I can have them sign a little document. I swear that I won't do that, and I'm going to hold this. It's our contract. I don't need that. I say, it's between you and God. Here again, I'm just being a messenger of trying to help and just trying to give you some guidelines to say, you know, if you're going to still live together, get separate bedrooms, keep from, you know, physical relations until that time. Honor each one by that. By doing that, really, you're honoring her as your bride. By you doing that, you're honoring him as your groom or your husband, you know, to sit there and say, okay, we're going to have a moratorium. But then I always say, it's between you and God. I'm not going to come to your house. And one couple I said, I'm not going to come and check to make sure his underwear is in a drawer in that room and your underwear is in the drawer in this room. I said, I'm not going to do that. You know? But you can lay it out and say, this is kind of like what you want to be looking at. But I said, it's between you and God. And I just encourage you to do that. I don't know. And I could be totally wrong. I could be totally wrong. And if I am, I'll ask God to forgive me. But I want to help. Amen. And any time I looked at my Jesus working through his situations, that woman at the well, he didn't kick dust in her face. That's right. He didn't say, get away from me, you sinner. I'm pure, you know. That's right. No. He gave her life story. You know, woo! Brought some attention to it, you know. But he worked with her. But anyway, can you believe traditions and how that poor Episcopal priest, you know, you're crazy, you're going to a psychiatrist. Well, my wife got healed. Ah, you're still crazy. Go. You know, there's nothing but this Holy Spirit stuff. You're crazy. Their fear of the supernatural. Some Christians that grew up in denominations that taught against the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And there is some of that out there where they, don't go there. That was only back in the New Testament and it's gone with the apostles and all that. It's, no, don't go there. They were told that Pentecostals are those fanatics that go on to trances. Watch me. Yeah, they speak mindless gibberish. Oh, that's mindless gibberish. They swing from chandeliers. Well, all we got in here is fans, so we took the chandeliers out. Actually, the first disciples in the New Testament spoke in tongues and experienced miracles, yet their faith was not strange. It should be the norm. We shared about that in Acts 2:1. Acts 1, when Jesus said, "Don't leave Jerusalem. Go back to that upper room and wait." You know? Now, some people will take that and they'll look at when we talk about the Holy Spirit, where they say, well, it says you have to go back and wait. Wait, tarry. You have to tarry. There's some, and I don't know if it's in this here, about religions of, you got to just tarry. You got to wait for the Holy Spirit, you know? And this, if that's the concept, then to tarry and wait for the Holy Spirit, you got to go back to Jerusalem then. Yeah. Anyway, if you're going to take it, but that was for a time and a season back then when Jesus said, go and wait until he comes. And once the Holy Spirit came, after Jesus was ascended, the Holy Spirit stayed. And he's here. So you don't have to tarry and wait for him. You just need to receive him. First of all, you get a measure of the Spirit, you know, as we get to the beginning. But then when we get into the works of things, and you find that there's a fullness of the Holy Spirit, and we'll try to get to there. But unconfessed sin, we talked about that. And even some of the things I talked about last couple of weeks about the benefits of the Holy Spirit is it helps you with unconfessed sin. It helps you with sin. And that's okay. It helps you understand. It convicts you to clean you up, to get you closer to God. It doesn't condemn you and say, how dare you, you know. It convicts you to say, that's just not right for what God's about, so clean it up, get rid of it, ask for repentance, help, ask for strength, whatever you need. If you can't do it on your own power and abilities and your own will, Father, not my will, but your be done in this situation, because I want to be close to you. Emotional wounds. Some people are just too burdened and emotional with baggage that's filled to be filled with the Spirit. There's so many people that are just downtrodden and they're going through such a tremendous, deplorable time in their life. And it's always been that way, and now maybe we see it more. I don't know. But when they have so much on them, it's hard for them to even receive good, really. Their system's not set up to even receive any more good or bad. They're just full, you know. It's like, oh, just get me out of here. And then an unyielded spirit. You cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit if you're full of yourself. A lot of that is pridefulness, the things that we have. How many of us in our churches say, I don't need any, I can do this, I can do that, I'm a man, I don't have to cry, I can do this, I don't need God, I got my own strength. Or women can do the same thing, but you've got to be careful that it's not with that unyielded spirit. Many people, they don't want something that they don't understand. And I don't truly understand the Holy Spirit, but yet I do understand the Holy Spirit. But I don't understand all the workings of the Holy Spirit, but yet I like what he's doing in me and through me and what he's about. But it goes all the way back, guys, to the point of saying that God is not going to put something dumb on you and something that's going to hurt you. What man would give his child what if he asked for a gift or something, a food? Who's going to give them a serpent or something, you know, if your child asks? Aren't you going to give them the fish? Aren't you going to take care of your children, your loved ones? That's what God's going to do. It's a shame that somehow, even through some of our organizational church things, that we've almost made God out to be like a mean ogred, and he could give you something bad, or you don't trust anything, you know, don't trust everything that, you know, you see or read in the Bible. But I do, and I got to get to that point to understand that the Holy Spirit is going to be good because it's from my God. Amen. And all good things, all good gifts come from the Father above. And so we receive these gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So that's some things that causes some hindrances and blocks there. Now we can get into some things of the measurement and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But where do you find, in just your conversations with people, where do you find the stumbling block with people in talking of the Holy Spirit? You know, if you're out there sharing, it's easy. Like, you know, we've said in the past, and you're kind of aware of it, that, you know, when you can get a lot of people, we can get this room, maybe this whole room could be filled, say, as an example, that everybody across the board here believes and trusts that there is a God, or they believe in God. You know, all these chairs could be filled. Awesome. We believe that together. And then you get to the next level. Then you go, okay, now we all believe in God. Now I want to go to the next level. Who believes Jesus Christ? Well, now you might have a few people get up and walk away because that you're getting into Jesus now. It's like, Jesus, man, I don't know about that, you know. And so I think you will lose some people. And then you get into that third realm of the Holy Spirit. Now you're going to really knock their socks off, because now you're going to say, okay, we got you guys that are remaining here believe in God. You that remain confess Jesus and believe in Jesus and what he accomplished. Now I'm going to take it one step further. Who believes in the Holy Spirit? Out the doors. I just lost half the people. They go, oh, now you're getting fanatical. Now you're getting crazy. Now you're getting out there in that spooky land. You know, especially when you say Holy Ghost. You know, Holy Ghost, a ghost. You know, that's all those things. So, you know, there's a thing of trying to get this understanding. So even in your own, just think within yourself. When you talk to even family or coworkers or people just on the street and you're just sharing maybe in conversation and all of a sudden you say, yeah, oh, man, I just, you know, and I don't know how to pray for a situation or somebody. I'm just so glad that, you know, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and that I can just pray in a heavenly language. And they go, what's that? And you say, tongues. What do they do? They look at you like, what are you talking about? What have you drank, you know? And that's when I was sharing, even on Wednesday with these ladies, I just ran through the things of the Holy Spirit and just kind of some things in the Scriptures and my Bible, and then I just kept just sharing what he was all about and how he moves through me and how I sense him and how things are done. And praise God. I'm going to tell you, and this, I think I told the ladies that were there, I said, after I was all done with that, this one lady like 3 months ago that said, oh, you're here today, you know, that whole, I tell you what, that was the break in the spirit, because after that whole thing, and the way I decided to respond back was love, that from then on, that whole table of ladies stays in there for the service now. Yeah. And they'll listen, they'll sing, we take songbooks back to them, and they're back, they're kind of like, if I'm here and there's chairs like right here, and they're probably back maybe by that last row area, you know, and the table's across there, but they're watching, man. And they're listening, and I'm talking loud. Why? I'm sharing about God. You know, there's no microphone. I'm sharing about the Holy Spirit, you know. And just begin to share some things and testimonies and stories and things that I've heard. Anyway, after we shared all that and all, and I had a couple of ladies come up and say, oh, Pastor Tim, that was so nice. That was so good. Would you? Oh. And I even had a couple of them begin to share some things during the service time. You know, I was talking and someone say, I got something to share. I go, wow, this is better than church. What is it? What is it, sister? You know? And she shares something and then this one shares something over here, you know? I'm thinking, man, I said, this is church service. Building those people up and they're sharing their faith and things. So it's all said and done and I'm standing up here and I'm kind of going through the schedule for the next, through August or October, I think I got myself down there. And this lady that was the one that said, oh, you're here today. She came up and she just said, she asked this lady, she goes, when's he coming again? Is he coming again in June? Well, I was already there June. I was like the first Wednesday in June. It's like I'm thinking to myself, it's already June, you know, but I'm not going to be able to make it a second time this month, I don't think. But anyway, I thought, I was just like, as I'm writing this down and she's talking to this lady and she goes, when's he coming again? I thought, oh my gosh, Lord, you are so good. You are so good. Turn your, I don't say she's an enemy, but turn somebody that's negatively to you or negative to what's being done to somebody that's asking now. Yes. That is only by the miraculous of God. Yes. And that's just moving through love. Yes. Love. And I was scared that first time back, 3 months back when she was like that, because I felt venom, you know. But then the Holy Spirit in me, the fullness, not just the measure of the Spirit in me, the fullness of the Holy Spirit in me instantly turned me to the point of saying, I don't have to fear that, by golly. God is on my side, and God will make this, and God, it's all for God anyway. I'm not going there to build Harvester's Church. I'm not going there to build a group of people that are going to support us with $1 zillion. I'm going there sharing the things of God and what God has for these people even in their later years of life. And I'm just saying, God, have your way. Meet their needs. Show them how powerful you are today. And I know I'm talking to people that have hurts. I know I'm talking with people that have very strong, some denominational things. Remember that time I talked about where I gave communion and this lady said, I don't want it. Told me out in the hallway that time, kind of with her head down, saying, I can't take communion anymore. My priest said, because I was divorced, I can't take communion anymore. Oh. Oh. Lord. Tradition. Man. Destroying the love of God. You know, there's nothing I could tell her to bring her probably without really visiting quite a bit with her, but she is old enough and she's pretty well set in her ways, and I'm not saying nothing's impossible with God, but she, sad to say, will probably go to her grave with that, I am no longer worthy to receive communion because of this in my life. I walked out of there and I said, well, Lord, you'll meet that priest someday when he's called home. And I'm not saying I'm perfect, and I'm probably not going to have God kind of spank on me a little bit on some things, I hope, if I can think of it fast enough and repent as I do some dumb things. But, you know, it just hurt me to hear that. And that was just one instance. And there's a gazillion of those out there, I'm sure, if you just visit with people. And that's where it hurt me, because I felt he was hurt. Because it's like he was thinking like, no, just come to me and you know, whatever the issue was, and who knows what, I don't know. I have a lot of scriptures here. I was wanting to talk about the tongues and things, because as I was trying to prod you into thinking of that, it's like usually when you talk to people, it's always the tongue issue and speaking in that language. They don't understand it, and they don't even want it. They're so concerned because of whatever. And we see so much in Scripture of the power, and we see it evident in the Scriptures. And if it's in the Scriptures, how can you deny it? And if God's Word says it never changes, how can you deny it? If you say, well, it's for those times back then, when God's Word says that His Word never expires, His Word is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, how can we choose what to throw out?
Right.
You really can't. And so that's the thing, and that's the hardest part. And I feel for people that have a hard time with tongues, because I'm going to tell you guys, that is when you're flowing in a power. When you connect by that of the Spirit, just into that realm of speaking into an unknown language, it does me so much in my spirit to think that I am communicating to God in a heavenly language. And I don't even know what I'm asking or praying, but I am praying for an individual. I don't know what I'm asking or praying, but I'm praying for a situation in our country. I don't know what or who or what I'm saying, but I know that if my can get out of the way and just let the Spirit flow through me, that I'm going to pray what God wants happening, and I can just trust that and believe in that. And I can walk away from that situation knowing that I have done everything that I need to do. I didn't need to maybe lay hands on them. I didn't need to say my words and vocabulary over them and all these things. All I know is I can walk out of that, whatever I'm at, and say, oh, Lord, hallelujah. The divine expressed will of my Father in heaven has been done. And I'm going to walk by faith that it's up there now, Father. And the answer's there.